Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, and thank you for joining Destiny Institute International's radio show, The Art of Waiting and Choosing the One, Part 2. If you were not with us last week, basically we talked about the reason that we are doing this show is to openly discuss Christian dating and the art of waiting, what should happen during the waiting season, and basically what to look for when choosing a mate. And then we delved into some pretty important topics such as sex outside of marriage. You know, what do you do if you've already become intimate outside of marriage? How do you rectify that? What should we actually be looking for in a mate? And several other topics that we will recap here in just a second. What I want to do right now is introduce our guest for the show. We have Steve and Alicia Johnson. They are certified John Maxwell speakers, trainers, and coaches. They've basically been doing dating counseling, premarital counseling, and marriage counseling for over 25 years, and they've been married for 34 years as well. So I will basically let them go ahead and introduce themselves and talk a little bit about their background. Good evening, Steve and Alicia. How are you today?
Good evening.
Hello. How are you doing?
How are you?
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you for joining us again.
Well, thank you for having us. My voice is a little raspy today. I've been going through changes with allergies, but forgive me if I start coughing. But
wanted
to tell you a little bit about us. We, just like Tiffany said, we've been married for 34 years. We have four adult children, 13 grandchildren, and one great-grandson. And
wow.
We don't look it. Praise the Lord.
No, you don't. You are vibrant, energetic. You guys don't.
Amen. We love doing this. One of the things that we learned early on in our marriage was that the things that we went through weren't for ourselves, that we were to help other young couples and individuals get through their challenges of life. So this is our calling, and we accept it, wholeheartedly from God. And God, has given us great success in doing this. So we love it. This is what we were created for.
Wonderful. Well, you do have such a wisdom to share with everyone. Last week, it was phenomenal that we had a lot of feedback about how wonderful it was, and people just wanted more. So that's a testament to the wisdom that you both have.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let me start by also talking a little bit about me, I just want to recap. You said that you realized that the things that you both had gone through was not for you, but it was for God's people. And I would say the same thing for the things that I've had to deal with. Last week I shared that I've been married twice, both ended in divorce, obviously, and they were both very, very rough. Marriages, very difficult marriages to navigate through. And, I got married because I really didn't adhere to some of the things that we'll be discussing tonight and some of the things we discussed last week. But I learned a lot along the way. God, he healed me over the years from a lot of different emotional scars that occurred in those relationships. I can say by the testimony of God that he really restored me. But it was a process. And so if we can prevent other people from having to go through some of the things that I've endured or perhaps you've endured, I think that that's a great success. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
So I want to let me recap a little bit about what we talked about last week. So some of the things that we talked about was, is there such a thing as the one? Title of the show is helping to choose the one. So is there really such a thing as, quote unquote, the one? And what we said last week is, yes, there really is someone in particular that God would have you mate with and to be your life partner. And then we also talked about the waiting season. So what to do while we're waiting and how best to use the time. And what we've said about that is basically that, you know, you can use the time to better yourself in every aspect. So get busy in the kingdom of God, focusing on the gifts that he's given you and your call, and then bettering yourself emotionally and physically and even financially. You know, if your credit is in disarray, spending time repairing your credit, basically using the time as best possible. And then we also delved into sex before marriage. And we talked about some of the nuances of becoming intimate before marriage. And we also said, you know, what actually is sex before marriage? Is kissing or touching and fondling, is that sex? And what you guys shared with us is that, yes, fondling is a part of sex, and kissing is an open door to having sex. And so those are some of the things that you should really avoid, if at all possible, because it will lead down the path towards sex. And some of the dangers you explained last week of having sex outside the marriage is that it makes you insecure and it can ruin your relationship. Is that correct?
That's correct. And there's some other dynamics regarding having sex prior to marriage. And one big thing is that it derails. Once you bring sex into the equation, you stop discovering the things that you need to discover about each other. And there are four stages basically to relationships. And sex is the very last stage of a relationship, and that is to be entered into only, you know, after the marriage vows. So there's four stages to becoming intimate with someone. And most couples bring sex into the very first stage, where the stage of just getting to know each other, they like each other, they are feeling certain feelings about each other, and then they jump right into sex, and it derails all the other four stages. And so
that's
important.
What would you say to people who are already having sex outside of marriage, and they feel like they're still discovering each other? Some people argue that sex is a part of discovering someone, that is a part of getting to know. You know, I have friends who are, they believe in God, but they wouldn't identify themselves as Christian. And, you know, they disagree with that principle because they feel like sex is a key component to getting to know someone before marriage. So what would you say to that?
Yeah, this is Steve. I think that you have to establish a standard. We believe that God establishes that standard. He has the right to establish it because he created it.
Yeah.
And if you embrace his standard, he will bless you. But if you break his standard, you will suffer. I mean, and that's just, there's no middle ground to that. I wish there was, but unfortunately it's not. I mean, over the last 25 years of counseling many, many couples, those that continue to violate that principle, there's so many other things tied to this. And that's why I believe in Proverbs 8:32 it says that he who sins injures himself. So when you engage in sin and sex, And you know, some people don't think, you know, having sex before marriage is a sin, and that's what I mean by establishing a standard. If you don't believe in biblical principle as the final authority, you know, that's one thing. But if you do believe that God has standards and principles that he wants us to embrace, then if you violate them, You know, God sets these standards, Tiffany. You know, it's really for our safety. It's for our good. It's not to keep us from something. You know, he wants us to be fulfilled, but he has a way. And he says, my ways are not like your ways, and my thoughts are not like your thoughts. As far as the east is from the west, so are my ways, so far from your way. And so we have to learn how to submit to God's ways. And when we submit to his ways, to his plan, then he gives us grace and he blesses what we do. But when we get away from his way, we suffer.
Absolutely. And you were going to say something, Chis?
I was just going to say, I like that because, that's really a principle for every area of our lives. We can rationalize all we want to. Well, this makes sense and that makes sense, and I think we should do it this way, But like Steve said, God's ways are far from our ways. So there will be things that we disagree with or things that we don't understand. But if we simply will follow his principles, he will bless us. And that's the end of the day. So if we have friends and family that will argue, oh, well, you really need to do this because otherwise how will you know? Well, then our defense is, I'm following God's principles, and this is what I adhere to. Mm-hmm. And I know that if I trust his ways, he will bless, and that's the end of the story.
Absolutely. God's word is not going to change. It's not circumstantial, and it's not going to change. And just like when Eve ate the fruit and then gave it to Adam, God said that as soon as you eat it, you will surely die. Well, they died. There were two deaths. The first death was a separation from God. The second death was death in the physical body. So did that happen immediately? The separation from God happened immediately, but the separation of the physical body to death did not happen immediately. And because a lot of times we don't see, the repercussions of our choices and actions immediately, we think they're okay. But that's not
right.
That's not the case. The wages of sin is death, yeah. Period.
Yeah.
And let me say this too, Tiff. If you think about it, God gives us the power to choose.
Mm-hmm.
We're free moral agents, and he doesn't want us to be robots. He wants us to make choices, right? So we have the power to choose, but however, we don't have the power to choose our consequences. And so if we make good choices, and we make choices according to his word, we can expect good to happen. But if you make choices against his word, you can't control the consequence of that decision.
Absolutely.
God does.
Absolutely.
I love that. And I think, I'd like to talk a little bit more about this here in just a second. Let me mention also that, again, we are answering all of your questions. For those of you online, if you have an immediate question, we will try to get to it. You can text your question to 469-702-1344. And the text is anonymous, and we will try to get to your questions. Also, if you are by a computer or your phone and you want to tweet or Facebook that we're online now, please do so. Okay, so let's go ahead and now talk about some of the questions that we did not get to from last week. One of those questions is, what to do to enlarge our pool of quality men and women? For example, what are some safe activities to open our horizons, if you will, to meeting more people? Is online dating an option, speed dating? What would you say to that?
Okay. We're in this information age. To meet someone is to get involved, as we stated last week, in church. That's around other believers, and one second. That is the safest way, is to get involved with people that are in the same circles in your church. That's the safest. For the simple fact is, you have people that know people, and a lot of times if you're meeting people in these dating sites, you really don't know them. You know what they say, but you don't really know them, and you don't know the people that surround them, and there's no accountability. So those type of places are not that good to you know, to hang out and to get dates from or whatever. But, you know, people are going on the internet all the time and they're you know, dating online. That is not a safe place.
Well, and let me say this too, Tiffany. I think it depends too on what a person really wants. You know, if you're looking for somebody just to have companionship, that's one thing. But if you're looking for someone that you want to spend the rest of your life with, that you want children with, you know, that you feel that you will have destiny with, see, that's a whole new different ballgame. So you're very selective. Or at least you should be very selective. You know, if you're really wanting someone, you know, that's of quality, you know, that will enhance your life and help you in your journey. I think our standards sometimes are a little low. I sometimes I don't think that we expect God best when we should. You know, if you're serving Him and you're doing the best you can to try to please Him, you know, why not expect God to send you a king if you're a woman? Why not expect somebody to send you a queen if you're a man? God wants to give you His very best. He said, it's my good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wants.
Wow, you know, I have a lot of follow-up questions on that. No, I'm sorry. I just want to jump in there. Someone texted amen to what you just said, by the way. But, you know, let me jump in there because a lot can be said to that. You know, so the first thing I want to say is that, you know, there are so many single men and women that have been crying out to God for decades now and for, you know, for such a long time. There have been, you know, women and men that have suffered atrocities in relationships. And so we know that God wants to give us His best. You know, we know that in His word, and we've been told that in messages and all that. So I'm asking on behalf of the people that have been waiting for a very long time, you know, how is it that, you know, I'm not expecting the best when I've been waiting for God all this time? What, you know, what would you say to that?
You know, sometimes that's a hard question because you don't know why a lot of times God hasn't given us what we want when we want it. We can say that in a lot of areas in our life, okay? Why hasn't God given us the job? Why haven't God given us the house? Why haven't God given us healing? Why hasn't God given, you know, there's a reason why God is sovereign. And, you know, when we accept His sovereignty for our lives and we stand on His word that says that He desires to give us the kingdom, when we also stand on His word that His plans for us are good and not for evil, to give us a future and a hope, plans to prosper us and not to harm us, when we stand on those promises, we have to come into a place of peace regarding His sovereignty. I remember when I wanted to be married. Now, be it. I've been married 34 years. But I remember when I was 19 and 20 years old, wanting to be married so bad and wanting to know how God, why God had not blessed me, you know, crying, going to people's weddings, and they thinking I'm crying because I'm happy for them when I'm actually crying because I'm sad for myself, you know, vowing I would not be in a wedding, you know, because, I mean, I'm like, well, why won't God bless me? Well, if God would have blessed me back then when I wanted to be blessed, I know it would have been destruction for me. He was waiting for me to come to my end, not having to need a husband, but needing Him. He wanted me to need Him. He said that He, and we said last week, He says, seek my kingdom above all else. And I'm not saying that the men and the women who are believing God for husbands are not seeking God. I'm not saying that. But I do say that when you're seeking God above all else, you become like a magnet, and that which God has for you will come to you. But what happens is we start getting impatient, just like anything. I mean, you can choose anything in life that you're believing God for, and you become impatient, and that will take you off of the road. And when it takes you off the road, the enemy always has counterfeit for you, care right. what it is. Me and Steve were believing God for a house for years, and God promised us a house. When we lived in California, he promised us a house. So when we moved to Atlanta, I'm like, we're going to get our house. And we went and got this house, and there was every roadblock and everything that said, don't buy this house. Even we submitted this house to our pastor, and he said, I believe you guys can do better. Well, you know, because we wanted it so bad, we said, you know, you got a house. You know, who are you telling me? And so we went and bought that house. And the day we closed on that house, we walked through the door, and the floor was slushy. The water heater, the water tank in the house busted. And we couldn't even move into our brand new house because the waters had flooded the carpet. And that was just the beginning of that house. That house, moving into that house was like hell. But the thing, I say all that to say, when we get impatient and not wait on God for what he promised us, we will always fall in a place of destruction. We will always compromise. And to that, to the question that you had right before that, about going and dating, how do we expand our pool? You know, we think that expanding our pool means to go to the club. Well, what are you going to find at the club? Right. Expanding your pool is hanging out at the bars and stuff. What are you going to find at the bars? And like Stevie said, what kind of quality person are you going to find? Just be about your business. Enjoy life. Get you some friends, go to ball games, because as you are going about life, your husband or your wife is going to be right there enjoying the things that they love doing. And it will be like your husband trips over you, because that's what that verse of scripture says, that he who finds a wife finds a good thing, which means, if you study that, it says, as you're on the same journey, he trips over you. While you're doing your thing and he's doing his thing, he trips over you. And I hope that wasn't too long-winded. I hope that, answered your question.
No, I think that's good. I think that answers it. We simply need to come into a place of trust. At the end of the day, whether it takes a year or whether it takes 25 years, the bottom line is coming to a place where nothing matters more except to do the will of God and pleasing him, and trusting that if that's what God's plan is for you, that he will send your mate. And I understand that, sometimes you get impatient and sometimes you wonder, where is God in this thing? But the bottom line is just like with everything else, it comes down to being in the place of trusting him for his very best. And I really like what you said. He will trip over you. If you're looking for a husband, he will trip over you or your wife. I love that. I had never heard it that way before. That's a new way of looking at it. You just go about doing life, and God will arrange
just
that.
Just do life. Just do life. Tiff, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I was going to go back to something that Steve was saying before about God sending his very best. It really leads into another question, which is about a person asked last week that we didn't get to. Do you believe in Bishop Jake's 80-20 rule, which, in other words, God will send you 80% of the qualities of the person you have on your list? So, we have this thing where you're supposed to make out your list and you trust God to fill that list and that person Well, God will fill about 80% of that list, if you will. I don't, you know, I'll reserve my thoughts on that, but what would you say? You know, we know that God will send his very best. Is 80% of your list his best?
Wow, man. Well, let me say this. When God gave me Steve, God said to me, I didn't give you what you wanted. I gave you what you needed. And when you accepted my gift of what you needed, you realized that he was who you wanted all along. We don't, you know, the word of God tells us, even when it comes to praying, he says, you don't even know how to pray as you ought. He said, that's why he tells us to pray in the spirit, which is the perfect prayer unto God, because we don't even know how to pray. And a lot of us, we think we know what we want, but we don't know what we want. It is God who has to reveal everything that I thought I wanted in a man. Now, granted, I was attracted to Steve. I thought Steve was a handsome man. You know, I thought Steve had a wonderful smile. But the kind of man that Steve was versus the men that I had been involved with in the past, he looked nothing like them. He had nothing like them. You know, I was all in the, you know, about, you know, what did he drive? What did he wear? You know, where did he live? All of that. Where did he work? And all of that. And every single one of those guys that I chose like that was more interested in themselves than they were in me. Now here I come into this church, and I've got this man who's working part-time at Kenny's Shoes, at the church mostly all the time, helping to put up tents, you know, lived with his sister, didn't have a car, you know, all of those things. In the world, I would not have even looked at Steve Johnson. But in Christ, he was so appealing to me because this man had this dedication to God like I had never seen in my life and loved God. And it's because he loved God so much that he was able to love me. But if I would have been looking at that standard of, does he have a car? No. Does he have a good job? No. Does he have his own place? No. I mean, there was about 80 on my list he did not have. He probably had about 20.
How long was your list?
and you know, and Tiffany, the flip side is that I had vowed that I would never marry a woman that had children. I just saw too much drama around me. You know, it was my brother and just my friends. I said, man, I'm just not going through that. You know, I just want to start a fresh and new. But all that was thrown out the window when I met Alicia, and I saw her dedication and devotion to God, and how she, you know, she was just so faithful, and she'd bring her kids, and she was struggling. She didn't have a whole lot. But, man, what was attractive to me, you know, was her dedication to God. That pulled me more than anything. And I threw all my preconceived ideas out the window. And I think the point we're trying to make is, you know, I think that when you get to it where you just say, God, I want whoever you want for me. And that person may not be all according to my list. But, Lord, if this person is if he's the one that you're pointing me toward, then I will embrace it. I want whoever you want for me. Because, see, when you come to that place, because I discovered with Alicia, even though she wasn't everything that I wanted and it was met all the requirements, and like she said, I was the same way. But over this 34 years, she has become the woman and far exceeded my dreams as a wife.
Wow.
I feel that I played a role in shaping her and molding her and training her with God's help and grace. You know, she's become an awesome, I mean, an incredible woman with all these talents. Yeah. And everything that I wanted, it's there. So the point I'm making is that, you know, when God joins you together, he could fix and shape and mold and create and turn you into something awesome if you do things according to his plan and his way.
Let me say this. I have seen and you know, don't get me wrong, because you know we all have to be attracted to the person, you know, that God is calling us to. He's not gonna bring somebody in our lives that we have no attraction to whatsoever. And I think sometimes people are scared of that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they don't trust God in that area. But I have seen there's a friend of ours that's been married about as long as we have. And this guy, and I'm not trying to be funny, but this guy did not look attractive at all. Mm-hmm. He had his teeth needed work. His clothes, you know, was he had no style. Okay,
mm-hmm.
This nobody would talk to him. This beautiful young lady in our church started. He asked her out. We had a, like, it was called a church. It was a church appreciation, and he asked her out. And this is one of those things where you get all dolled up with long dresses and all this kind of stuff. This guy, you know, she picked out the tuxedo for him. She took him to go get his hair cut. I'm telling you, we didn't even recognize the guy when he came in. They started dating, and they got married. And I'm telling you, you would not even recognize him to be the same guy. This guy got braced down. You hear me? And he is a good-looking man. But it's because she saw something in him. And he wasn't
now that
way
tricky.
Or she. Huh?
Yeah, that can be tricky, right? Because, you know, on the other side of that, you know, you want to be able to meet someone and accept them for who they are, so that if they don't want to change any of those things, that, you know, you're good in the long term with who they are. So that can be a little bit tricky, right?
It can be. But the thing about it is what I'm saying is you don't look at what somebody is right now,
mm-hmm.
because we all change. We all change. I got married, I was very faddish. I always wore, you know, whatever the fad was, I was wearing them. And at the time, you know, it was like knickers, and you remember knickers? It was knickers and halter tops and all kind of stuff. And Stevie was very conservative. So when we got married, what he started doing is he started replacing my clothes. And I was like, I don't want to wear those suits. I don't want to wear those dresses. But he started buying me clothes. And before I knew it, I started becoming, I'm still a little faddish, but before I knew it, I became more conservative. And that's how, what happens in a relationship. We begin to start conforming or transforming, you know? Mm. And it's not that he didn't accept me the way I was. As far as a person was concerned, he accepted me for who I was. But there were things about me. See, you know, when you start, you know, I don't want to change. You know, I don't have to change. Let me tell you something. If you don't change, you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
Because the only thing that doesn't change is a dead person.
Amen. You know, you're talking about a little bit about how you both were when you first got together. That reminds me of a question that came in last week we didn't get to, which was, you know, what happened? You talked about God confirming for each of you that each of you were the one for each other. What happened? This question was, what happened after you discovered that you were the one? You know, what happened then? How did you, you know, what happened with the relationship from there? How did you really get together at that point?
Okay.
How did God actually put you together?
Well, you know, like I said, you know, last week, you know, I just kind of watched Alicia for a good 6 months. And then I decided to take her out on a date. And then, you know, I started building a relationship. And 6 months later, you know, I told her, I said, baby, I don't know where God has taken us, but wherever he leads us, let's go. And God just begin to unfold things, you know. And, but you know, everybody's journey is not the same. It's not cookie cut. You know what I mean? And that's why I think it's so important, you know, that you come to a resolve personally in your relationship with God, you know, that you be sensitive to what you're sensing from him, and that you try to follow his direction the best you can. Because one thing about the Holy Spirit, he said, I will reveal to you things to come. That's his function, is to reveal truth to us, to unfold the plan of God for us, because we don't know God's plan unless he unfolds it. So as we pray and as we depend on his direction, he will be faithful to direct us. He said if we acknowledge him in all of our ways, right, Tev? He said he would direct our paths.
That's right.
And it's the simplicity of just following God's way. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask, you know, well then, you know, as God directs your steps, do you feel like it's important to submit yourself not only to God, but also to an accountability partner that can speak into your lives, the two of you, or even if you're single, you know, and you're not dating someone?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is always safety when you submit your relationship, even the beginning of your relationship, to accountability. First of all, as far as dating is concerned, okay, let me just break down the four levels of friendship, because this really what you're after in a relationship is friendship first, okay? The Word of God says, first of all, that we're brothers and sisters, okay? So, I mean, we're brothers and sisters. So if we're developing a friendship, and the first level of friendship is acquaintance. It's when you meet that person, but you don't know anything at all. It's an occasional contact. You know, you see each other in passing in the parking lot, or you go to a restaurant or whatever, and you see that person a couple of times, and maybe you introduce yourself to that person, or they introduce themselves to you. That's just an acquaintance. You know, and every acquaintance basically is like a divine appointment. You don't know where it's going. You know, you just know that I met this nice person and they seem to be nice and they got a nice smile or whatever. That's the first level of friendship. And then the second level of friendship is the casual relationship, where you realize that you have some common interests. And you have some activities that you like, you know, the same type of activities. You know, when you sit down and you talk to somebody and they say, you know, I like to golf, or I like to paint, or I like to sing, and you start talking, you know, or you like music. Well, what kind of music do you like? I like jazz. I like jazz too, you know, and then you go places occasionally and you listen to the same kind of music, and you see that you've got some common interest. Okay, that's the next level of relationship, you know, a casual relationship. You don't see each other all the time, you don't talk to each other all the time, but you're just getting to know each other. And every relationship should go this way progressively. And the next type of relationship is a close relationship. It's where you have mutual goals and you share mutual values and dreams. And you sit down and you're talking and you realize that, you know, like say for instance, you know, somebody's heart is toward being a missionary or going on a missions trip to Africa. And then the other person goes, oh, my God, you know, that's what I've always wanted to do, is to go on a mission trip in Africa. Because both of your mutual goals is to help people, your commonality in your values and your morals and your dreams. And that's called a close relationship. And you want to help each other to accomplish those dreams. You're saying, well, wow, you know, I can help you do that, or I can help you do that. That's a close relationship. And the next relationship is the intimate friendship, and it's a relationship, it's a friendship, and it's a fellowship where you are intimate with spirit, mind, and then body. Okay? Now, spirit, you should be connecting with someone on a spiritual level first. When you meet somebody, Didion, the first thing you want to do is you want to find out where they are spiritually. And if they are not on the same page spiritually, you know, they don't go to church. You know, yeah, I'm a Christian, but no, I don't go to church. Well, and you go to church all the time and you're serving in church, you already know that you guys are not on common ground, you know. And you cannot be on common ground with an unbeliever. Darkness and light cannot share have the same goals and the same interests, you know. So when Stevie and I met, even though we had a short relationship, we developed that friendship very quickly. You know, we had that acquaintance where we talked last week, Steve, and I said, is your name Stephen? He said, yes. God said, that's your husband. Well, we didn't go and get married the next day. We still had to go through the process of friendship, of building a friendship. And we had to realize that we had some of the same common interests and activities. And those same activities, common interests and activities, we still have them today. Me and Stevie we're best friends. If there were nobody else in the world except for me and Stevie, we would have fun. It would be great because we enjoy each other. So what happens is a couple do not go through the progression of friendship, of building a friendship. And like we said about sex, most of the time when people develop a casual relationship where they're going out and they're talking and they're seeing that they have common interests and activities, sex enters in. And you don't even get to the next stage of friendship.
Right.
Because you have entered in intimacy, sexual intimacy, before the stages can even complete.
Can we park there for a minute? Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Tiffany, and actually this is why we call those phases the phase of discovery, because you're trying to discover whether this is the person, you know, that God is placing your life to be with you for the rest of your life. And if you go through these processes and these phases, he will unfold and make it very, very plain and very, very clear if you stick to these phases. But if you take any shortcut to these phases, you know, your judgment gets cloudy. The enemy gets in it before you know it. You know, you got somebody that's wounded behind the relationship.
Mm.
I'm sorry, you were going to say something, Tiffany?
Yes, that actually leads into what I was going to say. If you could talk to us briefly about soul ties, you know, if you do already do that, you already delve into that and you skip these steps, you know, what is the danger? The danger and the implications of soul ties when you join intimately with someone that you shouldn't be.
Okay. Well, just like the Word of God says, is that, you know, when you have intercourse with someone, you become one with them. And so you're becoming one spiritually with them. Not just body, but when that happens, and that was only meant for a husband and wife to become one. So when you do that with multiple partners, then you leave a piece of yourself with them, and they leave a piece of themselves with you. And depending on how many sexual partners they've had, each partner is being left with you. So you could be, if you're really promiscuous, you know, you have had hundreds of sexual partners when you have sex with one. And the wounds that come with that, with the pulling away, when you're trying to pull away from someone, and you know, I don't know. you know, who's on the line. But if you could think about a time when you were in the discovery phase with someone that you were not intimate with, and you discovered along the way that this person was not for you, it was easier to say, walk away. It was easier to say, you know what, this is not quite working, you know, let's just be friends, you know, you're a great person, and go on about your business, okay? Now try that same thing with someone you were intimate with. When you first of all, it's hard to walk away because you've got that thing pulling on you. You've given everything. You've given yourself away. So now when you see those red flags come up, you're clouded, your vision is clouded, and you don't want to pull away. And you become pulled by a spirit. It's a spiritual thing. It really is. And it has to be broken. That's not something that you could just say, okay, I walk away from it. No, it's something that has to be renounced and cast down. Otherwise, you are taking, every time you start another relationship, you're bringing relationships into that relationship.
Alicia, let me jump
in
there. We got a text question that I think applies here quite well, so I'm going to stop you and ask it here. Let us address also the emotional soul ties that can happen. Even outside of sex, if you don't have sex with someone, you still can have an emotional soul tie develop. Do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And if you don't protect yourself from it, we see it all the time in married couples. You know, a man or a woman has entertained someone in their imagination. Say a wife is working on her job, and she's not, you know, somebody comes over and says, you know, you look beautiful, or starts giving her compliments and stuff like that, or she starts sharing some of the problems that are happening in her marriage, and this guy starts consoling her and making her feel good, and I wouldn't take this, and I wouldn't take that, and you deserve better than that, then all of a sudden an emotional soul tie develops.
Mm-hmm.
You have the same thing with singles. Somebody gives, you know, you a compliment, or you say, I'm going to, he's just my spiritual brother or spiritual sister, let me pray with them. They're going through something. I'm just trying to help them. Well, whenever you first of all, we don't believe in praying with people on a one-on-one of the opposite sex, because that is a spiritual transactions happen in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So we believe in, you know, a woman praying for a woman and a man praying for a man, unless you're in a group and you're praying a group prayer. Because there's a spiritual transaction that takes place. And, you know, people coming together talking about, we're going to have Bible study. You know, let me come over your house so we can have Bible study. We're just studying the Bible together. That can develop an emotional soul tie.
Good.
And it can be
that's
very
good.
Dangerous.
That's a deep subject. Yeah, that's a deep subject that we could have a show on all by itself, because you know, there's a lot of that kind of stuff going on within the church, you know, some out of innocent ignorance and some out of, you know, maliciousness. So, you know, I think I'd love to address that at some point and go deeper in that. So briefly tell us then, how do you break the soul tie? Is to get involved in a class, or how would you recommend breaking those soul ties?
Fortunately, we have in our church the ties that bind. And if you find yourself in that situation, I would go to the ties that bind class. It's 6 weeks, and it explains in depth what a soul tie is and walks you through breaking those soul ties. If you do not have the the ability to go to a class like that, you must go to a spiritual authority and let them know mm-hmm. that you're dealing with this, and let them because there's a renouncing, there's a declaring, there is a I rebuke, I renounce. You know, there is some verbiage that needs to go with the breaking of soul ties. It's just not a I'm not going to do this no more, because this soul tie takes over your mind, your will, and your emotions. You can be mm-hmm. in a relationship and continuously be drawn back to a situation, back to that person in your mind. That's what's so diabolical about soul ties, is because, you know, God, his divine order was for us to have one person, so that we would never have a point of referencing somebody else, you know, mm-hmm. Looking at, comparing somebody else to somebody, you know, another person. You know, and those are soul ties that need to be broken, especially if you've been married before, that you still have a soul tie, unless it's been broken, with your ex.
Absolutely. 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 And
yeah.
And a soul tie with everyone that you've ever really been intimate with. A question came in. You mentioned that praying one-on-one can lead to an emotional soul tie. Then when, at what stage, you and Steve, or is it appropriate for other couples to pray one-on-one with each other for the relationship or for
yeah.
each other's future or what
yeah.
have you? Yeah.
If it has been determined by the both of them that this is a relationship that they are pursuing for marriage, they can pray together about the relationship. But if I'm just going to be praying with you because you're my sister, you're my brother, you're my friend, you know, we're not seeking relationship with one another or whatever, that's just not safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, me and Steve didn't start praying together until, you know, we knew our relationship was a serious relationship and Steve was pursuing me for marriage.
Okay.
And Tiff, you know, if somebody wants to come, you're both single, opposite sex,
mm-hmm.
and they want to come mm-hmm. over your house at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night because they want to pray, well, I don't think so.
Even if you're pursuing for marriage, that is not okay, right?
No,
yeah,
no, you're right.
It sounds like a trap.
Well, that's really good. I want to, we have 7 minutes left. I want to make sure that I ask the last question in enough time that I want you guys to pray for the callers and those who will listen later about their singleness and about future relationships. So I want to leave time to do that. So let me ask this. So let's talk about those who are already in situations where they're living together. Now, we know that that is not God's will, but we also know that people find themselves in situations. So they've gotten together, they've justified moving in together. You know, how is it best to rectify that situation? What is your advice for someone that's already gone down that road?
Wow. Well, Stevie and I have done premarital counseling as well, and what covenant promotes is a non-sexual agreement for people who are getting ready to get married and find themselves living together. We suggest or we encourage them to one of the couple move out. If they're getting ready to get married, then that's not an issue. If, you know, if they've got a date set or whatever, then that's not an issue. You know, move with a friend, move with a family member until you get married. there are other times, you know, people have made that vow that they were going to be celibate until marriage. They moved in other rooms. And, you know, that's really hard to do. It's really hard to do when you've been intimate, you know, just to cut off sex. It's hard to do. But if you want God's best in your relationship and you want to do it God's way, you are going to stop having sex and you're going to dedicate your relationship to God. That's tough. Not going to lie, that's tough.
Yeah.
And Tiffany, let me add too, you know, part of the reason for this too, you know, if you can't restrain yourself during the dating phase, what do you think happens after you get married? Do you think that all of a sudden, you know, you don't have any more temptations because you're married? It's quite the opposite.
Good.
And if you can't use and exert self-control during the dating phase, you know, we've seen it. Typically that leads to lack of self-control after you get married, which leads to other problems. And God wants you to overcome it because it's all part of the preparation for when you get married.
Amen. You know,
I just wanted to inject this if I could. You know, we've been married for 34 years, but we've never had an affair because I believe God really helped us, you know, deal with our issues prior to marriage.
Amen.
And we treasured one another. We saw one another's gifts, and that never got distorted. And I really believe it's because we learned how to maintain our vessel in sanctification and honor, like the scripture says.
That takes commitment and dedication.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Proverbs says, "He that controls his spirit is greater than he that takes a city." It's a strong thing.
Mm. Wow. Well, on that, I think that's an appropriate place to stop. We have 2 minutes before the call will end, but I want to thank you again. And I just want to say to, you know, everyone on the call, thank you for dialing in. Make sure you share it with your friends and family members. I think that this is a very critical topic. You know, so many single people that are struggling with, you know, wanting to wait for God, wanting to understand how to wait for his best. And, you know, most people want to do the right thing and wait on God. And sometimes, you know, people trip over themselves or they struggle. So with that, I'm going to ask that you pray. We only have a few seconds left before the call ends. So let's just have you guys say a quick prayer for the callers. Can you please?
Okay. Absolutely. Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, sorry. Father God, Lord, I pray for every person on this call that is believing you for a mate. Lord, I thank you, Father God, that first of all, that they would seek your kingdom first and above all else, and that you will give them the desires of their heart. Father God, I ask you, oh God, that you would give them the grace to do what you have called them to do, because you want to give them a mate. You want to give them love that's going to last a lifetime. Lord, so we're asking you, oh God, to bless everyone on this call. Father God, give them accountability partners, Father God, that will hold them accountable. Let them be a hearer of your word and a doer of your word. And Lord, we just thank you right now. Lord, we're going to continue to pray for these men and women, Father God, that want your will so badly. I remember wanting your will so badly and going off and doing other things. But, Father God, I thank you, Lord, that you are a blessing to us. And we want to be a blessing to them. And we give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for dialing in to part 2, and we will be scheduling part 3. To everyone on the call, have a blessed day.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Bye-bye.